Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing about the hour of our visitation. As we look in Scripture, there were times that God would reach out to His people. You know, He did it through the period what is known as the Judges, when that was before Israel had a king, and He would raise up a deliverer who, when the Israelites called out because of the oppression of their enemies, God would send a judge to give them victory over the oppression of the enemy. And God was continually ministering to His people. He does that throughout the ages. When Jesus Himself came, remember when He was about to enter Jerusalem, it said He stopped and He wept because He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you would have known the hour of your visitation." And because they did not receive that, he prophesied and spoke of the coming day when the Romans would level the temple, when they would export all of Israel would be scattered. And it wasn't until the last century that Israel became a nation again. And so God chooses in His way and His time, times in which He is especially ministering to people. And in this hour, God, the Spirit of the Lord, is moving, and He's speaking to hearts, those who have ears to hear, but those who are set in stubbornness and rebellion and in their own ways and in their own pride, even in denominational or religious circles, if they refuse and close their hearts to hear additional counsel or to be enlightened or to allow God's Spirit to move. Beloved, it's a dangerous thing to have a religious spirit. Look at the Apostle Paul. What did Jesus say when he appeared? He said, "Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Obviously, God's Spirit had been trying to get through to Paul. What a wonderful man of God he was when God got a hold of him. But I mean, in order to do that, he had to knock him off his horse and make him blind. And that was that dramatic encounter finally convinced Paul that in spite of his great learning at the feet of Gamaliel, perhaps he had something he needed to learn. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And so, beloved, our arrogance, our spiritual pride, our knowledge, our understanding of the Scripture, or Greek or Hebrew, whatever, it avails nothing if we will not humble our heart before the living God. We read about Cain and Abel in the Bible. This is the very first hostility that arose between these two brothers. We see Cain in a fit of selfish, jealous rage. And what happened? He murdered Abel. And the blood of Abel cried out to the Lord. And when God asked him about his brutal behavior, his crude, evasive reply was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That one stabbing sentence showed the inner motives of his heart. It revealed the selfish, divisive, destructive character of human conduct. He simply didn't care. He could have cared less. Unfortunately, many in the church arena are saying perhaps a similar thing regarding lost humanity. Some just want to get a deluge of God's blessing, walk in His prosperity, but they forget the souls of men. And all these things are byproducts of serving God, if I can use that term. But our first purpose, our first motive and intention, beloved, should be to serve God, to seek His kingdom first, to be willing harvest hands in the ministry of reaching souls. He who winneth souls is wise, Proverbs says. And then if we are willing to put the Lord and His agenda and His desires first, then anything we could possibly need, all these things will be added to us. God loves you. He's a good God, and He wants you to prosper and be in health, not in lieu of our spiritual well-being, but because of our spiritual well-being. Beloved, what does 3 John 2 say? I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So if your soul's not prospering, then you may have issues in those other areas. Think of Adam and Eve and Cain. They had a visitation of God. Surely Adam and Eve walked with God. But because of rebellion, because of sin, they were driven from the presence of God. Think of Noah and the call of Abraham, Joseph. Each had a visitation that brought deliverance from God. Why? Because God is a covenant-keeping God. And beloved, we of us who live in New Testament days, we have an even better covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus. We have exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to us. As we look in the book of Exodus, that second chapter, verses 23 to 25, we read that God sees the plight of His people in Egyptian bondage. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew their plight. Time and again, brothers and sisters, God heard the cry of His people, and He moved, He acted, He did whatever was required to set them free. Moses had a visitation from God. You know, in his natural life, the first 40 years, he was perhaps royal heir to the throne. That time was significantly useless. He began to identify with his brethren. He murdered an Egyptian. He fled from Pharaoh to Midian. That's in the second chapter of Exodus. But Moses had a visitation. Think about that. You know, I was thinking today, sometimes we object to changes in our lives. We don't want to be moved out of our comfort zone. We like things the way they are. We don't like change. Think about poor Moses. He lived in the royal court, and then he was thrust into the solitude and quietness of the desert, the backside of the desert for 40 years. And perhaps I think the quietest place I've ever been is in way out in the desert in Nevada. There's absolute stillness, even quieter than Duck Valley, which is really quiet, 100 miles from anywhere. But the beloved, the work that God was doing in his life, and then he was, can you imagine that? Then he had, what, 1.6 million people he had to take care of? We have to be open to those new seasons in our lives. That's a little detour thrown out there for some of you who are struggling with this new season you may be in. But what happened? In Exodus, the third chapter, verse 2, Moses had a visitation. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses turned aside to see this sight. And God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and he said, put off thy shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Whenever God comes to a place, into a church, to a people, to a nation, it is changed by His presence. Let's hear what Romans says in the 8th chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. There are times we are called to suffer, to fulfill the sufferings of Christ. What does that mean? That we're willing to lay down our self-will. We're willing to do the things that we would rather not do, but we do it for the cause of Christ. Even as Jesus, there's no way we can add or do it, add anything to the perfect atonement that Jesus provided. But like Jesus, we can say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And that sometimes is hard to do. The self has to die. The flesh has to die. We must mortify the deeds of the body. Let's hear what Joel says in the second chapter, verse 19. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil that ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you reproach among the heathen. And then in verse 21, Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. This is a word for us today. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. The pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. That's speaking of a flowing and a pouring out of the Spirit of God. And I will restore to you. What a magnificent promise. Do you feel like you've had so many things taken and stolen from you? Hold on to this scripture, beloved. Verse 25, And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise God. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Beloved, we are living in that time. And hear that last verse. And it shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Beloved, there's a remnant God is calling today, and that remnant is going to know the hour of their visitation. Oh, Father, pour out your Spirit upon our hearts. Bring everyone, Lord, to that place where they are submitted and yielded to you, and let us receive the early and the latter rain. Let your restoration begin in our lives, Father, and let us walk in the favor of the Lord, and we shall not be ashamed. And let us proclaim the great wonders of our God and the works of our faithful Lord. Praise God. Well, my time has flown. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see what the Lord has for us next time we gather together at the same time. I love you. Thank God for you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.